Today on Real Radio.
But many denominations, many people believe that we got to get the gospel all the way around the world to every person, and only then can Christ come back. That's not true. Are we to do our best? Yes. Are we to try to reach every person? Yes. But apparently the Bible tells us during the tribulation period, an angel by necessity will be dispatched to the world to preach the everlasting gospel. Then the end will come. So the question to us this morning is, what is the gospel? What will be the scenario that brings the advent of this angel? What is the magnitude of the message he delivers? Why does he give it?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. Currently, we're in a series of studies called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements. Certainly, John's apocalyptic report contains myriad heavenly visions, and we'll be examining one of these taken from chapter 14 in verses 6 and 7. It speaks of a heavenly messenger taking the eternal gospel to every corner of the planet. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
We're going to get into some stuff. We're just going to scratch the surface of this. It's too wonderful to cover all of it. I'm going to be very excited about what we're talking about. I'm very passionate about what we're talking about because it is literally the key to eternal life. Eternal life. We live in a culture and we live in an age where people are going to day spas and looking for the fountain of youth and all of the things that are going to propagate life and make us look younger and keep going. And I guess there's nothing wrong with that. The only thing is, eventually you're gonna be the best looking dead person ever around because we're gonna die. You know, it's been joked around. It's been said that we will all pay taxes. And we will all die. And, trying to find the fountain of youth and all of that stuff is a desperate attempt by mankind to propagate and promote and to continue life in a certain state of quality. There is nothing greater as a Christian when you open the Bible. And by the way, in a very non-fatalistic view, that when a Christian opens the Bible and finds out that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, right? That eye has not seen, neither has it entered into the ears of man, he's never heard it, nor has his mind entertained the fact that the glorious, wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him, that's called heaven. That where God is, Jesus said, I will come again and take you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Jesus tried to communicate to us what the glories of that will be like when he said, in my Father's house, church, listen, answer. In my Father's house are many mansions. Don't tell me you're not interested in that kind of thinking when you go and drive around Bel Air and Hollywood and saying, oh, look at that mansion. Well, Jesus is not going to build us one out of brick or one out of stone or one out of 10,000 square feet with 10 pools and 50 bathrooms. What Jesus is talking about delivering unto us is a state in eternity that he has provided for us that will be so wonderful. We will be clothed in his righteousness, clothed in salvation. We will be redeemed, as the Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb. To ever and forever be with him. And that's a great thing. So this morning we're looking at, as we continue on in our study, in this study called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements. And this morning we look at verses 6 and 7. That's all. In fact, we may not even get through all of those verses because of the magnitude of the truth that's before us. We saw last time in our study that the events that John gave in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 14 were the events that followed the Great Tribulation period, that seven-year period of time. This morning now, we come to the events that complete, listen, Bible student note taker, verses 6 and 7 deal with things that bring to a conclusion the great tribulation period. So remember, chapter 14 gives vignettes. It's been described as vignettes of prophetic events that in all of chapter 14 will take place at the beginning, the midsection, at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. They're snippets, but they're not in chronological order. So don't try to look at verse, or I should say chapter 14, in any chronological order. So now we look at verses 6 and 7, and we see the events that complete the tribulation period. And that is the giving forth of the gospel to earth, not by a mission agency, not by Metro Missions, our outreach to the world, not by our evangelistic teams, not by any church. But the Bible says an angel God will bring upon the earth, or into the atmosphere more specifically. God will dispatch an angel. This is going to be bizarre. Isn't it going to be weird? You got to wonder how that's going to look and how it's going to sound. The Bible says that this angel will obviously make a circuit in the atmosphere, proclaiming with a loud voice the everlasting gospel. You say, why is that important? Because Jesus said when he was on earth, this gospel shall be preached in all of the world, and then the end will come. Now, many well-intending churches have thought that we need to get the gospel out to all of the world, and so we should, and I'm committed to that, and so are you. But many denominations, many people believe that we got to get the gospel all the way around the world to every person, and only then can Christ come back. That's not true. Are we to do our best? Yes. Are we to try to reach every person? Yes. But apparently, the Bible tells us during the tribulation period, an angel by necessity will be dispatched to the world to preach the everlasting gospel. Then the end will come. So the question to us this morning is, what is the gospel? What will be the scenario that brings the advent of this angel? What is the magnitude of the message he delivers? Why does he give it? Because I have to warn you up front right now, there are camps that say, great Christian camps, great teachers, who say this is the world's last attempt to receive Christ. Equally great scholars say, no, this is the gospel given to an unbelieving world that because of their rejection of it, they are condemned. They hear what they missed. They hear one final time what they rejected. You say, well, Pastor, which one's true? I don't know. I honestly don't know. And I don't really care, because what is important is that I myself and you hear the gospel and respond to it. So as we go through this study, you may have it in your mind, and it seems like every service someone's got this in their mind. Well, Pastor, I don't really have to worry about the gospel and all this stuff. I'm going to wait and think about it and all this stuff because I have this big question. What about the guy in South America that's running around naked with a bone in his nose and a spear in his hand who's never heard the gospel? What about him? Well, the Bible answers that question very clearly in Romans chapter 1. Very clearly. What I have often found is that's often a diversion to that person's own desire to reject the gospel. Forget the guy running around in South America with the bone in his nose. What about you? Are you going to heaven? On what grounds are you going to heaven? You need to know the answer. Why should God let you into heaven? You need to know that answer. How is heaven provided? By what basis? These are questions that every Christian knows how to answer, because it is a truth within our heart that cannot be denied. You know, the Bible says that salvation is of the Lord. And salvation comes through the gospel. Verse 6 and 7. Then John says, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. That is the atmosphere in Greek. That is the sky above us. The sky that you and I know of and live in. Having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. No one's exempt. Verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. What we look at first of all, my friend, this morning is this, if you'll jot it down, that the gospel was given by divine source. The events that complete the tribulation period culminate with this truth, that the gospel was given by divine source. What does that statement mean? That God gave us the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. If you examine every other religious claim known to man outside of Christianity, it is a religious effort for man to reach God. Christianity, no matter what your persuasion might be, you may be a Muslim this morning here, you may be a Buddhist, you may be a whatever here this morning, you need to understand, if you don't know already, the uniqueness to Christianity is that it is God declaring that he has come down to reach the world. Religion is man's attempt to do something over and over again to attain God's attention, to reach God's attention. For example, the word religion, I can clearly define religion by saying it this way. I religiously eat every day. I see to it. I'm very careful about that. You might say, well, that's fine, but I religiously go to LA Fitness here across the parking lot. I go to LA Fitness. I set my alarm clock. I get up and I don't. You might. I don't. But you do that. And listen, I can say of you, truly and keeping the word correct, you religiously work out. You religiously pay your bills. My dad used to sit down with all of the bills on the 15th of the month. That night, my dad, because he was a Marine, that's how they are, my dad did everything exactly the same every moment of his life. And I would say, Dad, why do you fold your shirts like that? You tuck them in the back like that? Marine Corps taught me that, son. Dad, why do you fold your bed like that? Marine Corps! Everything's a Marine Corps! Some of you say, well, I was in the Marine Corps for a couple years. I was in the Marine Corps for 19 years living with my dad. Don't tell me what it's like to be in the service. Listen, everything, it was religious. He did things religiously. And that's the true meaning of the word. It's how you do what you do faithfully. You are religiously fill in the blank. And that's a true meaning. When a person says, oh, I've got to earn God's favor, let's pray hard, let's pray long, let's do the works, let's go door to door, let's do this and that, let's earn God's love, earn God's favor. That, my friend, is a religious act, and you are very religious, for did not Paul the Apostle say in the book of Acts concerning the Athenians there in Greece, I perceive that you are a most religious people. Why? Because they faithfully worship all of these various gods faithfully. You can be very religious this morning and completely miss heaven if you don't know and if you don't have this relationship with Jesus Christ. No amount of religion will get you into the kingdom of God. The gospel was given by divine source. God has brought it down unto us. What is the gospel? Jot it down, mark it in the margin of your Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4 is the gospel. By the way, you're going to have to write it down because I didn't get home in time to give these guys the notes to put them up. So sorry. You're going to have to apply yourself to learning today. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 says, moreover, Paul said, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received from Christ, that Christ, listen, here it is, number one, Christ died for us. He died for our sins, the scripture says, according to the scriptures. Before I press on in this verse, when the Bible says, Paul says, Christ died for our sins, class, anybody? How many sins did he die for? Anyone? All. What does all mean? All. That's all means. Everything. Jesus died for them all. But Pastor, I'm a mugger. I think he'll forgive me of that stuff and this stuff, but not being a mugger. He died for muggers. I'm mean. I'm mean. I don't think Jesus died for me. I'm mean. Jesus died for you. So stop being mean. You don't have to be mean anymore. Jesus died for you. I used to be a prostitute, or I used to be a pimp, or I used to be a drug addict, I used to be a drunk. Jesus died for you. And then for the guy that's sitting here this morning saying, I was never any of those things, Pastor. Well, Jesus died for you, especially you, you prideful little stinker, you. He died for us, all of us. The Bible says that Jesus died according to the scriptures. And listen, it says that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. Jesus came, he died, he was buried, he rose again from the dead. If anybody asks you, what's the gospel? You better be able to tell them, Christian. 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus came, he died, he rose again for me. The gospel of Jesus Christ. When we consider the gospel of Jesus Christ, we look at this, that God is the one who's initiated it. And I'm glad for this. The source of the gospel is God. It is God who has initiated. Mark it down if you would, Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. There Jesus comes into the synagogue of Nazareth. You know the story. And Jesus comes and everybody's there. And as was his custom, the Bible says that he was handed the book of Isaiah, where he turned to the place, it says, and then he opened his mouth and said, the Lord, he makes this announcement, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He definitely spoke that with authority as he read Isaiah, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And that's not financially poor, by the way. That means poor in spirit. That means any one of us who recognizes the fact we need the Lord. Do you need the Lord today? I need the Lord. Jesus says, this is good news because I've come to preach this to you. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I don't need to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever been brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. I know what it's like to be in captivity, and I'm not talking about prison. There's a captivity worse. And the recovery of sight to the blind. No doubt Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, did he not? But what kind of blindness is he talking about? No doubt spiritual blindness. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. When you're oppressed, you are near a severe state of depression. There's no, almost to the point where there's no hope. I heard a horrible story this week of a woman who had reconstructive surgery on her teeth, and she didn't like the way it turned out. She was a model in her younger days, and it didn't come out right. Her smile didn't come out right. She didn't like it. And when she was visiting these surgeons in LA to fix it, and they said, look, we've done everything we can for you. This is the way that it is. It wasn't to her liking. And she went home and killed herself. No hope. Her hope was in how she looked. Her hope was in what people, she thought of her. And she took her life because her smile was not straight enough, wasn't bright enough, wasn't big enough. How tragic is that? Oppressed to the point of losing hope. Jesus says, I've come to set you free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That was Jesus' mission, that the time had come. Then the Bible says he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down in the synagogue and announced to the people there, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And no doubt Jesus pointed to himself, because the Bible says they were infuriated and they wanted to stone him. He had come. The fact of the matter is, salvation has been initiated by God, and not only that, but it's orchestrated by God. That is that God sets the terms, my friend. I love this part. I am so glad. Have you ever played Monopoly with somebody and they don't read the Monopoly instructions? You can't buy a hotel until you have these other assets. What's wrong with you? You can't go and do this, and you know, people, they have a little slush fund over here. I'm going to borrow from over here. That's not in the rule book. You've got to purchase with the money you have and these things, and you got to read the back of the thing, and you got to play Monopoly that way. Don't you play Monopoly with me and make up your own rules. You got to do it. The terms are there by Milton Bradley. They gave them. You think of a freeway. Well, I don't like the terms. There's lines. They're dotted. Some are double yellow. Some signs say, don't cross over. It's $271 fine. I don't like those rules. I don't like those terms. If you don't stay in that line, you're going to get hurt. If you cross over, you're going to pay. God gives the terms regarding salvation. We don't go to God and say, all right, God, listen up. This is how it's going to be. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Gabriel, Michael, what is that peep squeak I hear kind of? No, God, this is how it's going to be. I'll tell you how I'm going to get saved. No, God makes the terms. And for many people who don't know the gospel, this scares them because they think the terms are impossible. Jesus said concerning the terms, believe on him whom the Father has sent. Is that difficult? Believe on Christ. The Bible says if you believe that God sent Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again from the dead, if you believe that in your heart and confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved. And all the theologians run into the corner and try to figure out what that means. Jesus said to trust him. The fact of the matter is that the Lord has brought about salvation on his terms, and his terms are these: to trust him, to believe in him. Hey, were you guys, I don't know about you, but was it about 3 o'clock this morning? Was that something? Anybody know what I'm talking? Do you not know what I'm talking about? That thing went off and I went, Lord! That was a flash and a lightning bolt that made you sit up in bed. Wow. I thought, that's it. We're out of here. I started kind of, you know, checking the... I thought the Lord was coming back this morning. Not only did he initiate it, but concerning salvation, he has sustained it. I love this. He has sustained. The gospel is sustained by the power of God. Note here, it is the everlasting gospel. It means it never had a beginning. It's never going to have an ending. In the mind of God, listen, church, it has never changed. God didn't start a gospel and then kind of reconsider it. Nah, we need to tweak this one a little bit. It is the eternal, everlasting gospel. God, listen, was planning on redeeming you and I and all those who will trust in him. God's plan of redemption, listen, was before creation ever happened. Why? Because God is eternal. Did God know if Adam and Eve were going to sin? Yes. Then why, you know, think about it. Then why didn't God just stop the show before it was ever born, right? Because the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that through the eons of time, aeonios, aeonios, ongoing ages throughout all eternity, God would show his grace having redeemed us.
Well, another one of those passages that if you really grasp what is being communicated, it should change your prayers to pure gratitude. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, taken from Revelation 14. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more in this presentation. In fact, we invite you to make Real Radio part of your daily schedule. And of course, you can also visit realradioactive.org whenever you like. You'll learn more about this global radio outreach and how, by God's grace, it is affecting the lives of many for Christ. Realradioactive.org. And in fact, you can hear today's broadcast all over again if you'd like, as well as past broadcasts of Real Radio. You'll also find a welcome message by Pastor Jack and links to other ministries and organizations dedicated to bringing us the truth about today's issues and a lot more. Our mission at Real Radio is simple: for you to be equipped. So, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you can even help out by contributing to our radio fund. Here's our mailing address: Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.